All right, how many of you ever seen America's Got Talent? Okay, it's a big show in my house. Cameron watches it nonstop. So if you've ever seen an episode of this or like YouTube some of the clips, these people are crazy cool. Like you can't watch that show or watch a clip from it and be like, oh, they're all right, or I'm not impressed, or I could do that. You watch the show and you say things like, whoa, what? You rewind things and watch it over again because you can't believe how incredible it is. You say things like, this is amazing. How did they do that? Here's an example of one that I think is pretty wow. And they're all like this. So I'm going to show a little video clip here. He is a magician. He's 24 years old. And he dresses nice. Of them in the show that's just like amazing. They are very, very cool. And we have similar feelings like when we watch an Olympic performance, right? And someone does a perfect 10, does a big, amazing show, and you're like, that was incredible. I can't do a thing like that. Or someone is able to do some crazy math or some crazy science and cure diseases that we think are just incurable. Or someone is able to do amazing artwork, right? They can do amazing artwork and masterpieces. And you're like, how in the world did they do that? Or architects who can design breathtaking buildings. And people do amazing things. But I'm here this morning to tell you, despite the incredible, breathtaking, incredible things that people do, it still comes nowhere close to what God can do. Nowhere close. There is no one like God, and there's no one who even comes close to what God is. And the reality is, every talent we see on those TV shows, or every building created, or artwork created, or math that's accomplished in our brain, does not happen apart from God. He's the creator. He has given those gifts to those people to do amazing things. But again, it's nowhere close to what God can do. Listen to Jesus' words quoted in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. And we're going to look at the context in which that is said a little bit later. But please read with me. We're nearing toward the end of our Live Like Your Love series. So let's read together what we've learned so far. Live like you're loved. Act like you're truly free. Walk like you're righteous. Thrive like you're chosen. Step forward confidently like you're victorious. Endure like you're brave and strong. Rest like your power source is infinite. Function like you're purposefully designed. Stand like your faith is unshakable. And last one, which is today, believe like you belong to the God who makes all things possible. You know, we already know that we belong to God. We talk about it every week. When you accept Christ as Savior, you are His. He actually adopts you. Scripture tells us in John 1:12 that He gives us the right to become children of God. The Holy Spirit seals you, marks you. So it says, oh, that one's mine, that one's mine, that one's mine. We belong to God. And that is amazing news. But even greater news is the fact that we belong to a God who makes all things possible. He is a God of the impossible. He is the GOAT. He is the true GOAT, the greatest of all time. And I thought it would be fun this morning just to talk about a few of the great things he has done that are recorded in Scripture, and then some of the great things we have heard in contemporary history just recently that God has done, just to talk about his awesomeness. It's like a total brag session on God today. But I need you to understand, due to time, if the ocean represented, and that can't even contain it, all the great, miraculous, impossible things God has done, today we're only talking like about 6 drops of that water. I mean, that's how vast he is. That's how amazing he is. So I'm going to just talk about 6 stories today. Bible story 1. Here's the context. The Israelites have been freed from slavery in Egypt. We know that God did that in miraculous ways. They have parted through the Red Sea. God had parted the Red Sea. They had traveled through. It's been 1 month since they were rescued. Moses and Aaron are still their leaders. They're giving them wisdom that God is telling them to record to the people. And they're traveling towards the promised land, which, if you remember, is the land that God had promised Abraham and all the patriarchs in line ever since the beginning. So they're heading to the promised land. We pick up at Exodus 16, where the Israelites are hangry. Do you know what hangry is?
Yes.
Where you're so hungry, you become angry. Kind of like this commercial right here.
Marsha, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football. I can't go to the desert.
Well, I'm sure it was an accident, sweetheart.
An eye for an eye. That's what Dad always says.
Never said that, honey.
Shut up!
Marsha, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little hostile when you're hungry. Dinner? Dinner.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Damn.
It never ends.
So, you know, when you're hungry, you can't really think straight, and you things upset you more than they need to upset you. So really picture this. God had just done amazing miracles and taken his people out of slavery, okay? He has just done incredible, impossible things. The people are free from the burden of being under the Egyptians, working for the Egyptians, etc., etc. And this is what they say 1 month later. Only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around with pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. Right? They're hangry. They're so hangry. Right? And it was another time where if I was God, what would I be doing? I'd be shooting lightning bolts out of my wrists at them. Right? Because do you not realize what I just did for you? And now you're all upset because you're hungry? But our God is so merciful and slow to anger, because look what the next verses say. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. That's like better than Grubhub, you know. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. And I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the 6th day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. God was setting them up for the Sabbath so that they didn't have to work. So instead of God zapping them, right, or giving them just a little reminder of who he is, God is going to miraculously provide them with meat, we're going to find out later, meat in the evening and bread to satisfy them in the morning. Every day except on the Sabbath, where the day before they give them twice as much. So Moses tells Aaron to let the people know this is what's going to happen. So we're going to pick up on verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. He's a very kind God. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and bread in the morning you will have all the bread you want. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Then you will know that I'm the Lord your God. You will know that you belong to a God who makes all things possible. I love this account for these 3 reasons. There's probably many more, but these are the 3 reasons I love it. I love that God provides in miraculous ways for people who are just hungry, right? I love that. I love that God showed mercy despite the behavior of the Israelites. Really, they needed a kick in the pants. And God said, I'm going to supply you 2 meals a day. It's such a beautiful, generous God. And the third thing I think we can pull out of this, though theologians could probably debate me on it, is God approves of carbs, right? Because I think what he's saying here is you can have all the bread you want in the morning. So that's great application for us right now. We have a God who can do the impossible. We have a God that all things are possible. It's great to belong to him. So let's hear another story, because this is fun, all right? And let's get even crazier. Let's head to the New Testament. We're going to Mark chapter 4, and here's the context. Jesus has already been baptized. He has picked his disciples. He is teaching, and people are like, man, what is this guy saying? They're just flocking to him. Everywhere he went, there were crowds. He's casting out demons of people who, since a young age, have been trapped by demons, just haunting them. He's healing leprosy, which was an incurable disease. He's changing water into really good wine at a wedding. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law, all right? What a great guy Peter is. You've seen this Bible Time series around Easter time. Peter is healing his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law. The crowds are growing, and it's been a crazy day. So we're going to pick up on verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed because he's Jesus and they want to be near him. But soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" I mean, it's kind of same language as going back to the time in Israelites. "Don't you care that we're starving?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Disciples were absolutely terrified, still probably reeling from the situation or reeling that this man commands the sea. "Who is this man?" they asked to each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Wow. You know, this is another one of those you saw, like you watch America's Got Talent or the whole thing with the manna and the quail, and you say, wow, did you see that? You saw the parting of the Red Sea. Did you see that? How did he do that? I can't believe it. Well, we belong to that God. We belong to that God who did those things. All things are possible with him. There's nothing he cannot do. He can provide protein and carbs for millions every morning, and he can control the weather. I mean, our God makes all things possible. It's great to belong to him. Let's do one more. This isn't much of a story, but it's a written account from Matthew of the things that Jesus had done in just part of one day. So he is writing, kind of following along, making his writings about what Jesus is doing. So here's one part of one day from Matthew. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. Imagine what they're saying. They've never spoke before. What are they saying, you know, to the people they love? What are they saying? The crippled were made well, the lame were walking, and the blind could see again. Imagine what they saw. And they praised the God of Israel. Couple of key phrases. A vast crowd brought to him people who, etc., all these people who needed help. If you have a friend who is suffering, you have a friend who is lame or blind or cannot speak, and you say to him, "Hey, I hear about this guy who's doing amazing things," wouldn't you really believe this guy could heal them before you bring your blind friend to someone who says, "I can't help you"? I mean, think about that. You would never put someone who's suffering in a position if you did not believe that they could do the impossible. That would just be torture for someone. "Hey, I think you're going to be able to walk today." Sorry, he couldn't do it. They are bringing those who need help and bringing them to Jesus, believing that he can do the impossible that had not been done. This was not something that was done around Israel. It had not been done. It was impossible things. So that phrase, a vast crowd brought to him people who, and then this, I love this, they laid them before Jesus, right? Not before the disciples, not before the Pool of Siloam, not before the Jordan River. They laid them before Jesus. Why? Because he's the one that can do the impossible. And if you just can't love it anymore, and he healed them all. This is our God. Jesus is God, and God's word says he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So that God who did those great things that we have recorded in Scripture is the very same God we have today. He does not change. Our God makes all things possible. It's so great to belong to him. So now, let's look, because you might say, yeah, that's Bible times. They needed something to record. They needed something to show people. Let's look at three contemporary stories. And you have, because you've shared stories with me, many of you had, of prayers that have been answered, where doctors have said, we don't understand it, it doesn't make sense, and you say, well, people have been praying, and that doctor says, well, that has to be it, because I can't explain it. You've told me stories like that, or you told me stories about walking away from accidents alive, where you should have been dead, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have contemporary stories that tell us that God can do the impossible. It's not coincidence, it's God. And there is a book that Caleb worked to do. It's called It's a God Thing, When Miracles Happen to Everyday People. And in this book, the author chronicles 45 miracles of people who wrote in and told them about the situation or miracles that happened to them. So I'm going to go through a couple of them today. This one's called The Dog, The Chicken, and The Bomb. Okay? So here's how the story goes. When David Newkirk woke up in the middle of the night, you ever woke up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody? Yeah. When David Newkirk woke up in the middle of the night, he was still exhausted from a college basketball victory the day before. 20 minutes after my head hit the pillow, I was catapulted out of the deepest sleep, he writes in the book, along with his mother and sister. So at the same time, his mother and sister were also awoken. He was jerked awake to pray for his brother, Dan. Dan was in Israel. Dan was running out of money, so he chose to sleep on a park bench for the night. It happens all over Europe. People do this. In the wee hours of the morning, a snarling dog woke him up who was battling with a chicken under the bench. Okay? So he's sleeping on this bench where a dog and a chicken are fighting underneath it. That's weird. Unable to break up the animals, I would not have tried, but unable to break up the animals, Dan found another bench and resumed his rest. The next morning, a bomb exploded right next to the first bench that he had been on, hurtling it through the air, leaving a mess of tangled metal and concrete. That's a miracle. That's not a coincidence. You know, our God makes all things possible. It's so great to belong to him. Next miracle is actually from the author of the book. And I want us to know that sometimes we think miracles are just like that, or the parting of the Red Sea. But sometimes God gives us, as Cinder always talks about parking spaces, sometimes he gives us little things that we just pray for that really is. A parking space in Chicago is a miracle. It may not seem as vast as a dog and a chicken and a bomb, but it's a miracle. So this next one is called, Does God Watch Baseball? So Donald L. Jacobson Sr. took his son, and his son was the author of this book, out to a baseball game and prayed on a whim, Lord, if it would sure be nice if I could get a baseball for my boy. After this prayer, Ray Fossey, a famous catcher for the Portland Beavers, hit a home run and the ball whizzed straight to Senior Jacobson's feet. Miracles are not always big, the father wrote. Sometimes it is small ones that shout the loudest of God's love and care for each of us. I've still got the ball, said Jacobson Jr., the author of this book. You know, that story seems so small, but is it? I looked up. I never heard of the Portland Beavers, so I looked up what their stadium size is, and their seat 10,000. It's a stadium of 10,000. That's a pretty big stadium. That's 1 in 10,000 gets that ball, right? And there's not always home runs and the odds that it hits directly at your feet. Coincidence? I don't think so. Our God makes all things possible. It is really great to belong to him. Let's do one more. This one is a little, I feel, traumatic, but it ends out, everything ends well, all right? It's called, because you know me, all right? Didn't you see him? Denise Meyer almost lost her mother and her children on a lake in Wisconsin. When the boat capsized, Meyer lost sight of her two children. God gave her uncommon strength to lift her two-year-old son, Tim, out from under the boat. Miraculously, he had found a pocket of air, so the 90 seconds underwater did not drown him. And after Meyer's mother found her four-year-old daughter, Emily, and everyone was back safely on shore, the grandmother started having a heart attack. Had the heart attack started when we were in the water, she would have surely drowned, the witness wrote. Even then, God still had another miracle to reveal. When Emily, that's the daughter, was underwater, she had seen a man no one else had noticed. Grandma, she explained, the man under the water, he grabbed my foot and put it in your hand. That's chills, right? Our God makes all things possible. It's great to belong to him. And in this just one book, there's 42 other contemporary miracles listed in the book. And if you Google these type of books from publishers that you trust, there are so many books out there with people's contemporary miracles, giving witness to our God is still the same God from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. He does miracles. The only explanation is we have a God who makes all things possible. So remember this verse, Matthew 19:26. I said we get back to the context of it. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. I like the Message paraphrase of this. It's if you want to write down any verse and put it on your fridge or look at it daily, I love how he words it. Jesus looked hard at them and said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Like, it's probably the opposite of the Nike commercials. You can do anything, just do it. No chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. What a great reminder. Why would we even try when we have a God who can do the impossible, right? Let's just partner with him. That's my partner I would want, right? So this is so good. So what is the context of this verse? Because people could misquote it probably. Let's look at Matthew 19. Someone came to Jesus with this question, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. He's referring to God the Father, who we know that Jesus is God. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Well, which ones? The man asked, because he wants heaven, right? Don't we all want heaven? And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely, pretty much lie. You must honor your father and mother. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I've obeyed all those commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? Jesus told him, well, if you want to be perfect, then go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come in and follow me. And when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. He was a rich guy. And then Jesus said to the disciples, I tell you the truth, it's very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, how hard is it? I say it again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? Because that sounds impossible, right? Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. So that's the context of that verse that you often hear about. So when this man approached Jesus, he had this mindset, as many of us do. Well, just tell me what it takes for me to get to heaven. You know, just tell me what I need to do, because that is much preferable than hell. Hell exists. Heaven is real. Just tell me what I need to do to get there, because I do not want to go there. How many rules can I break and still get in? What's the bare minimum of good things I can do? Because I got my other things I got going on in life. And Jesus pretty much is saying, well, you can't break one. You can't break one. If you want to get into heaven on your own, you have to be perfect. You have to be perfect like Jesus is, right? Well, this guy thinks he's perfect. Well, all the ones that he listed, he's like, I've obeyed all those commandments. So he wants to know, is there something else, you know, because I'm perfect. I've done all these things. And we know that's not true, because the Bible says all have sinned. And I don't really think this young man, even if he's just 20 years old, that he has always honored his mother and father. I mean, there are things called the terrible twos, right? I don't think this guy has always loved his neighbor as himself. I don't think this guy has never told a lie, but he's claiming that he has. And Jesus pretty much calls it for baloney. And he calls him out. And he says, okay, well, If you want to be perfect, then go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have a treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. We know that selling all your possessions is not the way to heaven. But what God was saying, if you think you're perfect, then I know money's more important to you than I am. Go get rid of all of this stuff, and then, yeah, come on, come and follow me, and you can go to heaven. Well, Jesus is basically just calling him out. So the guy can't do that. He's got too much stuff. He's got too much vested. He's got too much nice things. People in the community respect him. People want to go to his house because he serves good food and has nice plates and, you know, a big open slate couch. I mean, he has things. Can't get rid of those things. That's his identity. So the guy leaves sad, and Jesus says to disciples who witnessed the whole interaction, this whole idea, man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And that's when the disciples said, well, how can we be saved then? Because camels aren't going through eyes of needle. And Jesus said, no, humanly, you can't get yourself to heaven. It's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. We often forget in our list of miracles when we're like, oh, but the, you know, the flood and the Red Sea and the healing of the lepers and the resurrection from the grave. We forget the fact that our salvation is a miracle. It's a miracle. The fact that God lets imperfect people into a perfect heaven is a miracle. The fact that God sent his son to take on the punishment for our imperfections is a miracle. Entrance into heaven is impossible. That's supposed to be circling humanly. Humanly. It's impossible said. It's impossible humanly. I can't wait to the next one says. But it's impossible, impossible humanly. Oh, I underlined that one. But with God, everything is possible. That's the God we belong to. I mean, we belong. I'm his kid. You know, you're his kid. We belong to, he's our dad. And he can make all things possible. He can do the impossible. Because here's the thing. We belong to a God who makes all things possible. But whether or not God rescues your house from a flood, or whether or not a loved one you love lives or dies from a sickness, or whether or not you find $1,000 on the ground or receive a bill for $1,000, the truth remains, with God all things are possible. You know, we have to trust how he chooses in his infinite wisdom to work. That's what we studied this morning in our Tozer study. We have to trust in his infinite wisdom how he works. But when it comes to the miracle of salvation, the whole world has been extended that option. That miracle can be every person's recipient of that miracle, because it's performed by God and it can't be achieved humanly. So if you want this miracle of salvation and you want it today, you can have it. We can have tons of miracles going on right now in this building, because all you need to do is ask God's forgiveness and tell him that you want to be a part of his family. And then you belong to him, not just temporarily, eternally. And that's a miracle. It's a miraculous miracle that we can't do on our own. It's only through God. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's everybody. Whoever calls upon him. So in closing, what did we learn today? We learned that we belong to God who makes all things possible. And that means we can trust him. Whatever it is you're having a hard time trusting God with right now in your life, I hope today in our 6 drops of water in the ocean of the impossible things God has done, you believe that you can trust him, because you can trust him. We can pray with confidence, because those prayers that you think can never be answered, oh, they can be answered, because he can do what's impossible. So they can be answered. Whether or not God chooses to, in his infinite wisdom, answer them the way you want, that's on God. That's up to him, and we have to trust him for that. But you can pray with confidence, because he can do what seems impossible. We can have big faith. If you're wavering in your faith because of what's going on in the world, or what's going on in your heart, or what your mind is telling you, go to the stories. Go read a day. Read a miracle from the Bible, then read a contemporary miracle. And balance it out and say, God works yesterday, God works today. And let that just boost your faith, because that's exciting stuff. And most importantly, the miracle is we can be saved. Humanly, guys, none of us deserves heaven, and none of us can make it to heaven on our own. by the miraculous power of Jesus Christ, we all can be saved. So belonging to God who makes all things possible means that there is always hope. Your debt, your marriage, your health, your job, your relationships, your bitterness, your fatigue, your addiction, your heartache, your sadness, your anxiety, your anger, your lack of patience, your loneliness, your need of healing can all be brought and laid at the feet of Jesus, right? Wasn't that what they did? They came and laid people who needed help at the feet of Jesus. He is a God who can do the impossible. And remember, you belong to that same God. So start believing that way in every part of your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you. We don't have to make this stuff up. We don't have to create you in our mind to be something that you are already. You are a God who does impossible things. And we love that about you. So, Father, there's some hearts in this room right now who have been doubting you. Maybe you can't answer their prayer. Maybe you can't do the impossible in their life. Maybe you can't heal their hurting hearts or give them the strength to forgive someone that hurt them. But God, your word says, and your acts prove it, that you are a God who can do the impossible. So, Father, may our faith explode in this place today. And if there is one in here who has never trusted you for the miracle of salvation, that they would call on your name right now, ask you for forgiveness, and ask to become a part of your forever family so that they, too, belong to you, who is a God who can do the impossible. It's in your name we pray. Amen.